Hey, New Life Church, Life of Christ, proud of you for the way that you have been faithful in checking out these devotionals and being in God's Word, and hopefully you're doing this with a friend or two. So today we're in Luke 14, and take a minute if you want to, pause the video right now, in fact, and read verse 25 to 27. This might be one of the most confusing passages in the Gospels. Let's read it together. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, this is Jesus talking, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What? Verse 27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, what in the world, Jesus, are you talking about? You've been telling us to love people and teaching us even to love our enemies, and now you're telling us we're supposed to hate the people closest to us? We're even supposed to hate ourselves? Man, how am I going to love my neighbor as myself if I hate myself? I mean, because we all love ourselves, right? And that's what Jesus told us to do. Well, here's what we need to understand, is that in the Hebrew, the word hate doesn't necessarily mean animosity or anger. Okay, it really has the sense more of to prefer something over something else. In other words, Jesus is saying that if you're going to follow me, you have to give preference to me first and foremost over everything else in your life. And not just preference in a chronological way or in a linear kind of compartmentalized way that we're so good at, especially you men out there. Okay, what he's saying is that he wants to be first in every part of your life. Like what we tend to do is think, okay, Lord, I'm gonna give you the first day of my week going to church on Sundays, and then the rest of my week, I'm gonna do what I want. Or I'm gonna give you the first 30 minutes of my day, but then I'm going to work and I'm not gonna think about you again. Or I'm even gonna give you the first 10% of my income, and then I'm gonna spend the other 90% on however I wanna spend it. That's not what Jesus is saying. In fact, Paul teaches us in Colossians chapter 1:18 that Jesus created all things, he sustains all things, and through his death and resurrection, he reconciled all things to God through himself in order that he himself will come to have preeminence in everything. In everything. So not just first and then our family second, our kids are third, and our work is fourth. No. Jesus wants to be first in our family, first in our kids, first in our work, first in our marriage, first in our finances. So the other 90%, we're spending that in a way that puts him first. We're giving him preeminence. Let me explain to you this way. In college, I had the opportunity to play football for my university for 4 years, and I loved it. I had a blast. It was a great time. But college football basically took preference and precedence over everything else in my life. I mean, my family knew that I wasn't going to be home until after Thanksgiving. I would miss summer vacations because of college football. I would go through all kinds of hardships physically. I would take a bath in ice water basically every day after practice. I mean, that's just about torture, right? I had injuries and surgeries. I was on crutches. I went through a lot just for the game of football. I even missed being the best man at my own brother's wedding because of a football game. And who gets married in November? I mean, come on, right? But anyway, people would probably look at my life and go, man, Corey must sure love football to go through all that. And the truth is, they're right. And it's not that I hated my brother or even that I hated myself. It's that football took preference over everything else in my life for 4 years while I was in college. It became first out of everything else. And if people were to assume that, man, I love football more than all those other things, or at least it seemed that way, well, they were probably right. But here's my question for us. As believers, as Christians, can people say the same thing to us when they see our lives, when they see what we're willing to sacrifice, when they see how we live our lives and what we are willing to suffer for? Do they think, wow, he or she must sure love Christ to give up so much, to go through so much, to go through all those things? You know, because what this verse really means for us as believers is not that we're called to hate other people. In fact, I think it teaches us the exact opposite of what this verse seems to say on the surface. But because I'm giving Christ preference in my life, I'm actually going to love my neighbor more because of Christ. See, a lot of times we just love people in response to their love for us, but now that's got nothing to do with it. I'm loving you because I'm taking up my cross. I'm going to suffer for you because of my love for Christ. And so really, by hating you compared to my love for Christ, I'm actually going to love you more because of my love, because I'm giving Christ preeminence in all things in my life. But the question is, when people see our lives, do they see that we're willing to suffer for Christ, to suffer for them, really because of our love for Christ? I hope that's the case for us, church.